Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hi, neighbor. How are you doing today? Maybe you were walking out towards the mailbox to pick up your mail, and the person who lives next door to you was coming down and doing the same thing. So he said, "Hi, neighbor, how are things going today?" We have neighbors around us. Only if you live out in the North Woods by yourself, a little cabin, you don't have many close neighbors, but we all have neighbors around us. And the Old Testament reading talks about our neighbors, and there are several kinds of neighbors out there. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time to pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the alien. How many of you have a vineyard? Not too many of you have vineyards. Well, you don't have to worry about that then, do you? That takes care of those people. Do not steal. Do not lie. Well, okay, maybe we haven't stolen anything. When we don't steal automobiles or things like that. Maybe that gum packet at the convenience store, maybe somebody would steal one of those. Do not lie. Do not deceive one another. I'll give you your hedge clipper back next week. Next week comes. I'll give you your hedge clipper back next week. So you're deceiving. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of the Lord your God. I am the Lord. Do not swear falsely by my name. Well, I guess if you go to court, you can say you're swearing correctly because you are asking, being told to swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So that swearing is okay. Sometimes little children will say, "I swear on a stack of Bibles that I did my homework." Well, a stack of Bibles might be nice, but did they do their homework or not? Do not defraud your neighbor or rob him. Do not hold back the wages of a hired man overnight. Not too many of us have hired servants or people that we have to pay. Maybe the kid down the street if he's mowing your lawn, but says don't hold back his wages overnight. You pay him once a week, you know, or once a month. So that's not a bad deal. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. Now, that makes good sense. None of us would do that, so that doesn't apply to us either. Do not pervert justice or show partiality. I like this one. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. There's the poor and there's the rich and the wealthy, and the people of great influence. It says don't be partial to the poor or show favorites to the great. Don't go about spreading slander among your people. You've never gossiped, I know you. You never told stories about someone down the street. Did you hear about Pastor Riley? He's Irish. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Driving down the street, don't cut in front of the car. Do not hate your brother in your heart. You know, all these things apply to them, don't they? They only really apply to us. I don't hate my brother in my heart. The only trouble is that Jesus has a couple of words to say about things like this. You know, when talking about hating your brother in your heart, Jesus says this. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his stupid person is answerable to the Sanhedrin. Anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. If you've had a brother or a sister, if you've had friends, or some were not quite your friends, if you've had children, grandchildren, sometimes even if you've had parents, maybe these words have come across your lips. You fool. Especially with brothers and sisters, they're good at calling each other fools. Trouble is, if you say you fooled, you're in danger of the fire of hell. You see, what Jesus is talking about and what the people and what the author of the Old Testament there is talking about in Leviticus, there are neighbors out there. And the only problem is that I'm sure that there's been at least one occasion in your life where somebody thought of you as a fool, your brother or your sister. We've all been called fools once or twice in our lifetimes. And so we are all together in the same boat. We are in the danger of the fire of hell because we don't love our neighbors. Because when we think of them, I'm not like one of them. I don't worry about the harvest of the land. No, I'm not one of them. I don't steal. I'm not one of them. I don't lie. I'm not one of them. I don't deceive. I'm not one of them. Our attitude is there is a them and an us. And we are separated from them because we are us. And because of that separation, God says you are in the danger of the fire of hell. Because that person who is a part of them is someone for whom God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for their sins. And if we're going to be honest, there are times when people have thought of us as one of them because of our opinions, because of our, you know, are you a Democrat? You're one of them. Are you Republican? You're one of them. Jesus says there is no them. There is only us. You see, Jesus came to die for everyone, even Republicans and Democrats and independents. Amazing. He did that because he loves us, no matter who we are, no matter what we manage to do or not to do. He loved us so much that in spite of the fact that we look at them, he looks at us with love. And he goes to the cross so that he might take the sins of the world upon himself, our sins of basically idolatry. If it's them and it's us, us are better, that means we are better, and that's breaking the first commandment because it is saying, in effect, that I am God, I am better than you are. Only God is better than any human being because he is God. And so we are all under the same sentence of death and we are under the same sentence of life when we go to the cross and we see Jesus there. Because he was an outcast. They thought he was one of them. He was a rebel. He was a person who claimed to be God, and only God, human beings cannot claim to be God. And so he was put to death. Put to death for us. So what does it mean? Do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly, so you do not share in his guilt. Do not pervert justice. One thing that is very helpful. Again, you have heard it said that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Some hairdressers will disagree with this next verse. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. But Jesus goes on to say, simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. So when we speak, use the KISS principle. The KISS principle is very helpful to us in our daily lives. The KISS principle is, keep it simple, stupid. If you're asked a question, give an answer. And do it honestly and frankly. It says, rebuke your neighbor frankly so he will not share in his guilt. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. Do not swear falsely by my name. Say yes or no. Be transparent. In this world in which we live, there is an emphasis now on being transparent so that things can go well. It goes back to honesty is the best policy. And we can be honest because Jesus not only died for our sins on the cross, he gives us his Holy Spirit. He gives us his Holy Spirit so that you and I can be fair and honest with one another. That no matter what person you meet, no matter what kind of dress they're wearing, no matter what color their skin may be, no matter where they came from, no matter where they are, they're your neighbor. And you can show God's love and care for them. Love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. The interesting part of the story of the Good Samaritan is the response of the lawyer. Jesus said there were three men, the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan. And he says, which one was the neighbor to the person who was robbed? He says, the one who had mercy on him. That shows the significance of Samaritans and Jews. The man was a good Jewish lawyer, a good Jewish teacher, and good Jewish people hated Samaritans. You know the story of the Samaritans. I'm going to tell it to you again anyway. When the people of Israel were taken away into captivity, there were some left behind. The leaders were taken away, but there were some Jews left behind. And what happened is that the Babylonians and the Assyrians brought in other peoples from other nations to fill the gap and to keep those other leaders from other nations from causing trouble. So they brought them to Israel. The only trouble was they brought their gods with them. And so with intermarriage and things like that, some of the bad practices, some of the idolatry crept in to the people who were left there in Israel. And so what happened 70 years later, the Babylonians, the Persians let the Jews come back to Israel, rebuild the temple. And the neighbor said, hey, let us help you. You guys have been worshiping other idols along with the God of Israel. You are impure. We want no part of you. We are going to rebuild the temple ourselves. The people that were there in Israel lived in the northern part, up north of Jerusalem, in Samaria. And the Jews who came back, of course, lived around Jerusalem. So the people up in the north who lived in Samaria became Samaritans. And because of their mixed religious beliefs, there was dislike and hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans. The one who had mercy on him, he did not have the nerve to say, Samaritan. But Jesus made his point. Who was the neighbor? The one who had mercy. You may meet some people, your neighbor, you know, the clerk at the grocery store, the clerk at the convenience store. There are lots of neighbors you know, and they're fine. But every once in a while, you're going to meet someone who's different, someone you've never met before. Maybe it's a stranger. Maybe it's somebody, a new clerk in the store. The clerk that you have always seen for the last 3 years isn't there anymore. There's a new clerk there. Maybe they're not too sure how to use the cash register. they're still your neighbor. You can show love and care for that person. Not because you're so great and wonderful, but because God is so great and wonderful that he gives you his Holy Spirit so that you can reach out in kindness and in love to those around you. May each of us love our neighbor by the grace of God with the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.